This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed. This week, our podcast is brought to you by BHP. Reducing greenhouse gas emissions in the production of copper is critical. That's why BHP has committed to solar, wind, and battery agreements to help power their copper mine at Olympic Dam in South Australia. It's happening now at BHP. Visit bhp.com/critical to find out more. Weekly Wrap is the week in news and what's coming up. I'm Kate Watson.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
Before we get into it, Claire, News Club this week was a discussion about Ozempic. If you haven't had a chance to tune in, please do. We had some really good feedback on that episode.
Yeah, so that's the weight loss drug, of course, that many have described as world-changing.
Big call, but we get into why. Give it a listen. And next week on News Club, we're talking fast fashion or faster fashion.
I'm really looking forward to that. But back to the week at hand, the news has been dominated by talk about social media platforms and their responsibilities, both here and in the United States. So we're going to get into that today.
We will. Also, the Aurora Australis, a debate about where a baby should be or should not be. And in what's coming up, passwords and space.
And Squiz Press, I'm off on a holiday.
You're off on a holiday. Let's get into it. Most clicked link out of the Squiz Today email this week, which is a demonstration on what you're interested in, and it's why we highlight it each week, was a story on the Aurora Australis being visible across South Australia and Tasmanian skies. That was in the early hours of last Saturday morning. We had a message from a Squizzer that it was also visible in their part of Western Australia. They're the Southern Lights, Claire.
Yeah, they are. And they're the counterpart of the Northern Hemisphere Aurora Borealis. They're the Northern Lights. And it's on my bucket list to see both of those. I haven't done that yet.
You're not doing that on this holiday. You're actually going to Koh Samui.
Exactly.
Slightly different, but that does seem achievable. So bucket list, I will hold you to. What they are flickering lights covering the entire sky, predominantly seen in high latitude regions across the Arctic and the Antarctic. So parts of Tassie get the light show each year, mainly in winter.
Which is why it's notable that other parts of Australia have seen it in April. And of course, trying to explain how they work. When I looked into this, because I knew you would ask this question, what actually is it? It uses phrases in the descriptions of things like disturbances that alter the trajectories of charged particles in the magnetospheric plasma.
Magnetospheric?
It's just a hill that I don't think we can climb in this podcast.
I don't think so. The simple explanation is the auroras are a visual representation of the Earth's magnetic field, protecting us from the sun's disruptive bursts of energy. I still don't really know what that means even. So I think we should just move on.
Yeah, let's just roll on from there.
The biggest news story this week was the biggest because it just kind of built and built and built across the week. We touched on last week just how cranky our government are, both state and federal, about some of the information that's being spread online after the Bondi Junction attack and then the Wakely incident. Off the back of that, on Monday, there was an Australian court which said to X, which is Twitter. When are we just going to adopt it as X?
I know. At the moment, we're still X, formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah.
Are we just calling it X now?
I think the Squiz is just calling it X now.
Okay,
let's call it X. So that's the social media company owned by Elon Musk. They ordered that X must take down or hide videos of last week's stabbing attack at that church in Wakely.
And as you say, this started the week prior when the eSafety Commissioner, that's Julie Inman Grant, they'd ordered X to remove the posts or face a daily fine of $785,000. Now, Inman Grant said that as the regulator, they were executing their remit to remove harmful online content, but Musk and X said that the order was not within the scope of Australian law.
You can still see this stuff on X. So what this really boils down to is what our regulators can demand of social media companies when it comes to distributing content here in Australia versus globally. X said while it respects the right of a country to enforce its laws within its jurisdiction, the eSafety Commissioner does not have the authority to dictate what content X's users can see globally.
Yeah, so they say that they've complied with the directive, and these are the words, pending a legal challenge. So there's some legalese in that statement, which means that videos of that incident, as you say, Kate, are still circulating in Australia.
There was an article on CNN, which you showed to me, Claire, which said, in one camp is a tech billionaire with more than 181 million followers on his own social network. In the other, political leaders representing a country of just 26 million people.
So Australia and our governments are really hard pressed pushing all of this, not just here in Australia, but internationally, and we're being recognised as that. This is, of course, a much broader theme and a much bigger discussion about the actions of social media platforms, their role in spreading harmful content and also mis and disinformation. Of course, we've spoken to Squizzes in recent times about the possibility that Meta, which is the company behind Facebook and Instagram.
Again, do we need to keep saying that? I don't know.
I know.
Let's go with Meta.
Okay. Yeah. X and Meta. Okay, we've got it. To stop Aussie publishers from posting on their apps. That's still a question mark. It feels like there is this pressure building on the government to do something.
And the name you'll hear a bit is Michelle Rowland. She's the communications minister. She said that the Albanese government's looking into age limits for children from accessing social media. That will come under a review that they're doing of the Online Safety Act to make sure that the regulator has the necessary tools. Unpick that a little bit for us.
So what that means, of course, the platforms do have their own limits. They say that children shouldn't get on them. But once you start putting that sort of thing into regulation, it means that it would be enforceable by the law. The idea being that those social media platforms would risk fines or penalties if it's found that children are actually using their products.
Yeah, exciting for us and Squiz Kids that she also mentioned that media literacy for kids is on their radar. We've spoken a little bit to our audience about the lobbying we're doing with the government to get support for our Squiz Kids NewsHounds program. That's our media literacy program that's currently being completed by 2,500 classrooms around the country. So we're watching closely how all of this plays out.
Yeah, we sure are. And probably just the thing to put on your news radar, this is all heading back to the federal court on the 10th of May, and X at the moment is still continuing to push back on those orders.
Outside of that specific conversation, of course, this week, there was also fear that this material could be used in radicalising young people. That bubbled up on Wednesday, of course.
Yeah, and that's because there were more than 400 police officers in New South Wales executing 13 search warrants. Seven teenage suspects were arrested out of that. They're considered to be an immediate threat, the police say. Of course, lots of talk about terrorism and radicalisation and what that all means. They've been linked to a network that includes that 16-year-old who allegedly attacked Bishop Emmanuel.
Claire O'Neill is our Home Affairs Minister, another name to put on your radar. This week she said, just about every problem that we have as a country is either being exacerbated or caused by social media, and we're not seeing a skerrick of responsibility taken by these companies. Big statement.
Yeah, it's a really big statement, but you can see, again, to what we were talking about, the pressure really is building on this one.
We're really curious, actually, about your take on that statement. So if you're listening on Spotify, just go to the episode. You'll see that we're running a poll this week. Keen to know, on instinct, whether you agree or not with that statement. Claire, while we're on the theme of big social media companies, a TikTok ban in America could happen. There's a way to go, though. Plenty of reasons why it won't actually happen.
Well, potentially might not happen. Potentially might happen. Where things are now is that US President Joe Biden has signed a bill into law that means that TikTok has to divest from its Chinese ownership if it wants to continue to be available in America, to be in the app stores in the US. They have a year to do that, essentially.
Essentially, what the worry is, and just to the concern, is that the Chinese government could access TikTok's data, and given nearly half of the US population are users of TikTok, that's a lot of data. You might think, and I've had people say this to me before, who cares if people know what I'm seeing on TikTok? Doesn't really bother me. Mm. It's less about you, the individual, and more about how they could use that information to manipulate videos you see towards their agenda en masse.
Yeah, and of course, basically use that information against America with its own people. There's also this thing about TikTok that they're concerned about, that it collects a lot more data than other like apps do. So where that's stored, how it's used, are big questions. There is that year timeframe. It's likely to go longer than that because of how the law might work. So ByteDance, which is the Chinese company that owns the app, it's got 270 days to sell it. So that's 9 months with a possible 90-day extension. If ByteDance doesn't sell in that time period, you won't be able to download it in the United States.
We were talking about what that actually looks like for the user if you already have the app on your phone. Having read into it, the likely scenario is that you would still be able to access it on your phone, but you won't be able to update it, which means it will eventually stop working. And of course, you definitely won't be able to get it off the app stores. How are TikTok about all of this? Well, they're cranky.
Yeah, so its boss is Shouzi Chu. He's from Singapore. He's someone who has really impressed the critics when he's appeared before the United States congressional committees. You put him up against Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk. People say that he's a really good guy. But he, of course, put a video up on TikTok following the events of this week. And
surprise,
what he says is, we're confident we'll keep fighting for your rights in the courts. The facts and the constitution are on our side and we expect to prevail.
So they're going to fight it. TikTok made $16 billion in US revenue last year. That accounted for just over 13% of ByteDance's $120 billion of global turnover. So losing the US audience would hurt a bit, but where it would hurt more is for its growth plans into the future. I was also reading an angle which suggested that if TikTok wasn't able to operate, that would just push creators back to Meta. And as explained above, that isn't without its problems too.
No, it's not. Another big story this week was around the comedian Arj Barker. He was performing at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival last Saturday. He asked a mother to leave his show after her baby began making noises, started crying during his performance.
We've talked about Tim Burrows from Unmade a bit on the podcast, actually, but we can't go past his analysis again this week of how the story was a hot topic on TV news programs, radio, Australian news websites. It really went viral. Tim's look at it is fascinating. His contention is that it was the perfect two-day story because parenting is an issue for everyone and everyone seems to have an opinion on it. It includes someone many people would recognise in Arj Barker. It appeals to a highbrow audience as well as to a tabloid one. So it wasn't just sort of, your tabloid news running this story. It was everywhere.
Crosses the divide.
That's right. And probably I thought the most important one was that both parties involved were willing to talk and quite quickly.
Yeah, and really willing to talk.
Even talked to each other live on radio.
Yeah, they were both on TV. They were both on radio. They really did feed that machine. Mm. The mum is Trish Ferranda. She brought her 7-month-old baby Clara to the show because she wanted to get out and about. She said she wanted to get back to doing the things that she'd done before she gave
birth.
But most
importantly, she was breastfeeding.
She was breastfeeding.
That was the only way to, she doesn't feed her baby any other way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Clara started making some noises. So she said that she would have left if she thought that the noise was actually bothering other people. She didn't feel that that was the case. And she also said that she found Barker's demands to leave really intimidating.
He did it over the mic in front of everyone. That's probably important
700
context.
people in that crowd.
Yeah. He rejects that. He said the baby's noises were ruining his train of thought. And on behalf of the other 700 people there who had paid to see the gig, politely told her the baby couldn't stay. You can see why this was a real big one for talkback radio and morning TV this week.
Yeah, you sure can. And from just a quick Google, there are so many opinions about it.
I feel like it's a slap moment.
Yeah, of course. That book of, if you don't know what that is, it was a sensation a few years back about a guy who disciplines a child that's not his own at a barbecue. It's got sort of all these feelings of ramifications and parents and kids and other people getting involved. Yeah, lots of opinions.
I like Tim finished his analysis on this story with, I hope this story goes away as quickly as it came. And I think it has. There's not much around about it towards the back end of the week. Finally, of course, yesterday was Anzac Day. This year, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese was in Papua New Guinea walking parts of the Kokoda Track with James Marape.
I watched an interview that SBS did with both of them. They were hiking up a hill. They're a bit out of breath.
Understandably.
It's a really tough moment to stop them and say, so how's it going? Sort of really trying to catch the breath and look really cool, calm and collected. It's really clear that there's a personal friendship between those two men. Marape was giving Albanese a bit of a dig about Albanese picking that part of the track to walk. He said it was one of the toughest bits and that there were plenty of easier bits to do, but he just had a bit of a laugh about all of that.
Yeah, and I guess what Albanese was going for was a sort of a symbol of our shared history, that we've worked together through some hard times and that we'll walk together into the future. You can see what they did there.
Walking together.
Yeah.
They were literally walking together as they're metaphorically walking together into our regional security agreements and all sorts of things. There's really something about politicians doing physical challenges, you know, all this sort of soaring inspiration of overcoming challenges and the power of perseverance. Both of those guys talked about that in that SBS interview. They really want to translate that to the public about their day jobs as well.
Yeah, as I said, sort of the symbolism of doing that. As for Anzac Day back on our shores, plenty headed to dawn services around the country, tens of thousands in some instances. Did you go along?
Didn't do a dawn service, but I did one a bit later in the morning. They're always great things to do, I reckon. What about you?
I did go to a dawn service, and I think in our Saturday Squeeze newsletter this week, we'll be asking you whether you went along to a dawn service, and we'll report back on the findings of that poll next week, I reckon. Before we get into what might be in the news next week, a message from our podcast advertiser, BHP. This week, they're keen to share with Squizzers how the resources they mine are key to the energy transition to renewable energy.
Yeah, we often hear about the push towards renewable energy, but what doesn't get as much attention is the role resources play in making that transition possible. Take steel, for instance. It's a key material used in the construction of renewable energy infrastructure, as well as in bridges, transportation, hospitals, and schools. And a big part of it comes from iron ore.
BHP says the importance of responsibly produced Australian iron ore is clear.
And by that, they mean reducing the greenhouse gas emissions associated with iron ore production. It's why BHP has committed to a solar and battery agreement to help power their port facilities at Port Hedland.
It's happening now at BHP. And if you want to learn more, visit bhp.com/critical. You'll find that link in your episode notes. Claire, as for next week, on Wednesday, the Bruce Lehrman defamation case against Network 10 is back in court. How many times have we said that on the podcast?
We've said it a few times, I reckon, haven't we?
This is about the payment.
Yeah, this is about paying for the big defamation case. So, of course, Bruce Lehrman lost that case. That's against Network 10 and Lisa Wilkinson. The question now is that, is Lehrman, as the loser, facing a really big, hefty legal bill? He could be ordered to pay both for Network 10 and Lisa Wilkinson. There's talk about that bill being upwards of $8 million.
Yeah, and who pays for that and all of that
will
be in the news next week. On Thursday, it's World Password Day, which promotes using stronger passwords. It's a good reminder.
Yeah, I know.
You got to do that.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Like, we do. Like, really important.
It's one of those things that I get told all the time, and do I do it?
Personal admin chore that's just really hard, but should very important.
Should we be putting out on a podcast that goes to this many people that we're not that safely secure?
I've been through the whole password vault thing. I've come out of the password vault thing and used the recommended stronger passwords on your computer. That seems to work until you then want to use it on your iPhone. I can't remember how that works. Anyway, yes, get your act together on World Password Day is the message I take out of
that. I am going to do that. On Friday, it's National Space Day, which from what I can tell from my quick Google search, celebrates everything space related. It's a good segue to make an apology.
So last week we mentioned that you could see the Devil's Comet on Sunday just after sunset. What we failed to mention was that it was going to look like a small fuzzy blob. And look, we did cover this off on Squiz today.
You did.
Squizzes might have known. But if you're a weekly rap listener, yeah, we gave you a bit of a bum steer, and I reckon it was your mum, wasn't
it? My poor mum.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, my poor mum was sitting out there looking for it and texted me saying, I haven't seen anything yet, Kate, and I heard on the Squeeze that I was going to get to see something. Yeah, it was very difficult to see, put it that way. And it was a clear night as well.
It's a once in a 71-year phenomenon that's difficult to see.
You can't really
Fantastic.
See. We've spent a lot of time talking about the Devil's Comet when you can't actually experience
when you
it.
Add it up.
Yeah. Anyway, we just wanted to say sorry. To wrap it up on Saturday, it's May the 4th. So that's May the 4th be with you, National Star Wars Day.
Hilarious.
Are you a big Star Wars fan, Claire? I actually don't know the answer to this.
No, I'm not, but it's not that I have an objection to it. It's just sort of not a genre that I've dived into. I reckon I'd probably quite enjoy the movies.
I would too, but same. I just haven't never got into it.
You haven't either.
Yeah. Squiz recommends this week. Mine is with thanks to a Squizzer who wrote in to remind me that I meant to recommend the Australian Story episode on Arnold Dix. So thank you for this email. I will read it to people. This is more of a personal note to Kate, who I believe was a little obsessed with Arnold Dix.
Yes,
Kate's she was. Enjoying this. Our local hero who saved the Indian miners from the tunnel. I wanted to ensure she had seen this week's Australian Story all about Arnold, who is indeed an absolute legend. Thank you for reminding me to this person who sent this email, because I did watch it and I meant to recommend it last week, but was understandably, I think, distracted by your Vegemite butter recipe recommendation.
There's so much to unpack there. Kate and I were actually texting on the night that yeah. Australian Story went to air, because he is such a legend. And I think I have now a newfound appreciation of all the wonderful things that this really quirky dude has done in his life.
So much more than that one incident.
Absolutely.
He yeah. is really a story, and it's really worth watching. So we'll put a link to that in your episode notes. As always, Claire, any recommendations this week from you?
No. I'm good.
She's basically on holidays.
I'm focused on my end game.
She's basically on holidays. And that brings us neatly to Squiz Press. You're going away. Koh Samui, I already gave that away.
Yeah, I reckon this is the first time I've taken a 2-week break.
In a while, yeah.
In a bit. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Of course, had 2 weeks over Christmas. That was lovely.
Mm.
But sort of in the middle of the year, fantastic. Going away with some friends, going to have a really nice time. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it's well deserved. We will have Larissa Moore on Weekly Wrap
That's
the
exciting.
Coming 2 weeks. Yeah, she, long-time Squizzers will know Larissa very, very well. She used to host Squiz Today with you for years and years, and she's coming back on the mic to do Weekly Wrap with me, which I'm really looking forward to. The other shout-out on Squiz Press is just a reminder to listen to News Club if you haven't done so already. Look out for our episode on Tuesday as well about fast fashion. As we said, it's an interview actually with one of our faves, Lauren yep. Sams, the fashion editor at the AFR, the Australian Financial Review, about some of the newer players in this space and specifically Temu.
Yeah, when you get into all of that, Temu, Shein, these are really big brands that are very, very prevalent for Australian shoppers. Specifically talking about how they're gamifying shopping and really taking that to the next level of engagement, shifting our shopping behaviour from wanting things now to wanting things cheap.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting.
I so enjoyed that chat. As I said, that will drop on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to the Weekly Wrap. I'll be back next week. Kate Watson, co-host of News Club and The Weekly Wrap, jumping in here to say thank you for listening to our podcasts first and foremost. And if you like them, we'd really appreciate it if you could share them. Tell your mates about us. Tell your family. Tell your barista. Tell your hairdresser. Whoever you think might be interested in the news that we cover. You telling people about us is still the number one way we grow. Thanks in advance.